RNZ Pacific News, Maloile Lee, I'm Selmanu Tevam Tafai. The head of Transparency International Solomon Islands says the country's weak political party legislation is skewing voter choices. Almost half of the incumbent MPs who contested last month's national election lost their seats. Many of the newly elected MPs, particularly those that ran as independents, campaigned on platforms to change the government or be an alternative voice in the House. Transparency Chief Executive Ruth Lilokula says these same politicians are now aligning themselves with a coalition which will effectively return the former government to power.
That kind of movement is what I refer to as the destabilizing factor in our political stability. Freedom for anyone to stand as an independent candidate, that still stays. But for them to then, after winning as an independent candidate, then they come together and form a group. That needs to be got rid of.
MPs will meet to elect the new Solomon Islands Prime Minister later this morning. In Papua New Guinea, an escapee who allegedly murdered a young girl, her brother, a child and wounded the child's father has been hacked to death by an angry mob of relatives. The Northern Police Commander told the national newspaper the deceased was being held by police with 18 other people since last month. They say he was wanted for several other crimes before he escaped and was killed. Kiribati's first president, Sir Yeremia Tabai, says the decision by the government to deport Judge David Lambourne from the country is a farce. Parliament has voted to accept the decision of a tribunal set up by the government to investigate aspects of Mr. Lambourne's work. It concluded that he had failed to deliver judgment in a timely fashion. A statement from the Office of President Tanese Maamau says Mr. Lambourne is being deported for his misbehaviours. Sir Yeremia, who is an opposition MP, says the allegations were trumped up by the government.
Our view is that it's a fact. The whole thing is designed by governments to ensure that David will have to be deported and so on. Because if you read the report, the real reason for delegations to the tribunal were trumped up by the government itself.
So Yeremia Tabai says there is no doubt in his mind that the government campaign to remove Mr. Lambourne is aimed at his wife, the opposition leader Tessie Lambourne. The former Vanuatu Prime Minister and now opposition leader says more needs to be done to tackle a high number of Ngi Vanuatu workers in Australian prisons. Ismail Kausakal says agencies promise Ngi Vanuatu workers full-time work, but they arrive and only have 2 or 3 days a week and get into trouble on their days off. He says he attempted to make headway on the issue when he was Prime Minister.
As far as I'm concerned, the government needs to, and Vanuatu needs to, hold agents to account and take control of the processes of greening and preparing our people to go and work in farms in Australia and New Zealand, because it is a fact that when focused on the job, we're some of the best workers.
Mr. Kausakal says it's an ongoing issue and something he has spoken with both the Australia and New Zealand governments about. An international team led by New Zealand's GNS Science is heading to the Hongatonga Hongaha'a Bay volcano to support research. The research challenges what triggered the violent January 15, 2022 eruption, which killed 3 people. Principal scientist Cornel Deron told Pacific Waves an unmanned vessel survey of the volcano was taken after the eruption.
And what we noticed was this beautiful cone shape of the crater, and there was no evidence of collapse of the sides of the volcano. There was no evidence of collapse in the centre of the volcano, but rather it looked like just a complete explosion of material having been erupted out of the centre of the volcano.
New Zealand's Foreign Affairs Minister says the opposition needs to hold its nerve over the prospect of Pillar 2 of the AUKUS Security Pact. Winston Peters delivered a speech at Parliament last night in which he said the government was a long way from being able to make a decision. He insisted the coalition is continuing a process started by the previous government, which he accused of becoming close-minded. Now it's in opposition.
Bipartisanship in foreign policy is not a luxury for a small state. It's a necessity. It's a necessary condition for advancing our sovereign interests effectively, thereby keeping New Zealanders secure and prosperous, and we therefore urge them to hold their nerve.
Labour's Foreign Affairs spokesperson David Parker says there are lots of areas where governments and opposition agree on foreign affairs and lots where they disagree, pointing at the invasion of Iraq. In world news, the Vice-Chancellor of the University of California has described fierce clashes at a campus protest as horrific acts of violence. A group supporting Israel began dismantling barricades around a large pro-Palestinian encampment that's part of wider protests at campuses across the United States. Online footage shows protesters throwing fireworks and other objects at each other in the dark. UCLA student Alaya Medina says she backs the call for a ceasefire in Gaza, but is opposed to violent protest.
I think it's for a great cause. These students are here like to speak their voice and speak for people that aren't able to and actually stand up for something that they believe in. So it's a beautiful thing, but at the same time, I wish that it was kept peacefully.
The violence came hours after a massive operation by police in New York to remove protesters occupying part of Columbia University. Japanese government figures show the country has nearly 4 million abandoned homes as a shrinking population reduces the demand for living space. The BBC's Mickey Bristow reports.
The majority of these homes are in the countryside where depopulation is most severe. Many are left empty when their elderly owners die or go into nursing homes. Even those that are inherited are often left to slowly fall into disrepair, as it's hard to rent or sell them and costly to demolish them. The total number of vacant homes in Japan rises to 9 million when empty properties for rent or sale are included. With a falling population, there just aren't the people to live in them.
In sport, three Fijian and Rua players are keen to play for the Fiji men's sevens team at the Paris Olympics if given the chance. Kitione Salawa, Taniela Rakuro and Selesitino Ravu Taumara have told media in Fiji they will play if sevens team officials want them. The trio are key members of the Indoroa squad. Fiji men's sevens coach Osea Kolinisau is trying out players before naming his final squad for the July event. The development of Paralympic sports has been boosted by a new memorandum of understanding signed between the Oceania National Olympic Committee and the Oceania Paralympic Committee. The MOU will see the two organisations working together to advance the growth and inclusivity of parasports across the Oceania region. ONOC says they will use their competition and events to include participation and integration of athletes, coaches, officials and teams from OPC member nations. The new partnership will assist Oceania Paralympians to prepare for the Brisbane 2032 Olympic and Paralympic Games. Netball PNG is holding trials in Waigani this weekend to select their squad for the upcoming Under-21 World Youth Cup qualifiers in Cook Islands in September. The netball body sent a training squad to Australia earlier in March for a training camp in Brisbane. The winner of the Cook Islands event will qualify for the Netball World Youth Cup in England next year. That's your latest RNZ Pacific news and sport. For more stories, head to rnzi.com.